It's good for me. And he's saying, humble yourself so I can lift you up. Why would you want to lift yourself, prop your own self up on your own reputation? What you can do, well, I'm going to have a reputation that no one's going to say anything about me. I'm going to have a reputation that people think this about me. And I want to have that kind of reputation. I want people to think this way about me. And maybe God's saying, that's just your own pride, buddy. You need to humble that so I can lift you up and be the person I want you to be. Well, God, I want to be a certain kind of preacher. And he says, maybe that's not my idea for what kind of preacher I want you to be. Let me put you in your spot. Let me put you in your position in the body. Discern the Lord's body. It's my body. I'm going to put you where I want. You're going to have the reputation I want. You're going to do what I want you to do. But we want to make sure we exalt ourselves to the position that we want. I want people to think so-and-so about me. I want to have this kind of reputation. And God says, that's not what I have for you. But as long as we don't humble ourselves, there is no way we are going to cast our cares on him because he might disappoint us. You can't. You can't cast your cares on him when you're still trying to run the ship. When you're still trying to control the situation. You can't. That old pride, brother and sister. That death to self. For this bride, brother and sister, I tell you what, we are going to know what it means to be dead to self. Oh, I just love this. Let me read again. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. See, brother and sister, discerning the Lord's body, discerning your part in it, is finding your spot in the body of Christ. That's what we have to do. You need to find your place in the body of Christ. And a lot of times that place is about this big around. And we want to fill a place about this big around. And we don't fit. And so what does he do? He allows trials and testings and troubles and all this stuff to come by just so that we will come to a place where we willingly humble ourselves. I am so preaching Sunday's message right now, and I just can't get away from it, so we're just going to keep going. You're going to hear it again Sunday. We need to be willing. We need to lay ourselves down like Christ in Gethsemane. He said, I don't want to do this. He prayed earnestly that he didn't have to do it. He said, I don't want to go through this. But nevertheless, not my will. Brother and sister, we all are going to come to that point. But this is happening in my family, and that's happening at work, and this is happening in my health, and my mind's doing this, and that's happening, and this person's doing that. Can you control it? Isn't it amazing how we try to control other people and we can't even control ourselves? Ain't it something? Well, God, if you would have that person do this, then I could be happy. You're never going to be happy. It ain't going to happen. Because God's going to allow that person to do whatever is annoying us until we decide to be happy anyways. Yes, sir. That situation is not going to be fixed, Phil, until you decide to put it in God's hand and be happy anyways. Humble yourself, Brother Phil. I think I'll preach to myself for a while. Because this is nailing me to the wall. I struggle with this, brother and sister. I want people to think a certain way about me. I want people to treat me a certain way. I want to have a certain kind of ministry. I want to be able to do certain things that I want to do. And sometimes people say things to me, and it just gets all over me. And oh, I want to respond. I want to answer. I want to run my mouth to that. I want to do something to let that person know, you ain't going to talk to me that way. But every time I do it, you know what I do? Every time I run my mouth, guess what happens? I am a fool. I feel foolish. I know I'm wrong. I'm just wrong. It's like, and I, you know what happens? The worst thing, I grieve the Holy Spirit. Every time I grieve the Holy Spirit, that's the worst part. Because I don't want to humble myself. I want to exalt my own self. I do not want you to talk to me that way. I do not want you to treat me that way. You should see me at work sometime. You shouldn't see me at work sometime. You think, Brother Phil, what are you doing preaching? Look how you, yeah, that's right. That's why I said I'm preaching to myself tonight. Y'all can go home. I'm just going to preach to myself. Maybe you might be able to preach to me. Go ahead. I do, sir. All right. Well, then we're gonna have church tonight, right, Brother Jim? All right. I like that. Yes, sir. All right. It ain't in vain to be here, is it? Humble myself. That thing, you know what happened? That thing rises up and it hurts. It gets its feelings hurt. And it doesn't like it. And I have to defend myself. And I had to say, no, you're not going to treat me that way. But they are. I've been in situations at work where I know good and well that person said that just because it was going to get on me. And she didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know that it was bothering me at all. But God did and I did and Satan did and we had us a conversation. And she went on and did whatever and she never once knew that I was all tore up. Because that time I didn't say anything, but boy, I sure felt it. And I look at that and I say, God, I know that was you. I know that was you and it hurts. Why don't people just treat me nice? What a little baby. Oh, here, have your passy while you're pouting, Phil. Humble yourself, and then I can cast my cares on him. Then I can get rid of this burden I'm carrying. You know how hard it is to keep a reputation? You know how hard it is to kind of make sure people think the right thing about you? It's a full-time job. You always got to be careful, watching how everyone's treating you, watching what you do and say, because what if you look stupid? What if you show a little weakness? What if you show a little pout? And everyone's going to think, look at you, what's wrong with you? And then you go, oh, I'm not pouting. It will wear you out. Worried about this and worried about that. How is this going to work? And what if I go there and I got to teach this class? And what if I make a fool of myself? And what if they disagree with me and I got to defend myself? And what if I lose my temper and everyone thinks I'm a little crybaby? Oh my goodness, I got so much going on. Yes, sir. You want some mental illness? Try to do that sometime. Take care of yourself. Protect yourself. It'll drive you crazy. I'm speaking from personal experience. It's a burden that my mind can't handle, brother and sister. I can't handle it. It's too intense. It's too heavy. And it's all based in fear. It all comes straight from fear. There isn't a lick of faith in it. And so you know what God does? He says, okay, Phil, you want to carry that burden? Be my guest. Get old fast. You're almost ready to retire and you're still carrying this little baby burden around. It's getting heavier every year, isn't it? Yes, sir. I'll take it from you if you want, but as long as you want to worry about yourself and exalt yourself, you go ahead and keep it. And then what he does, he says, I know you can't just give that up. You can't just do it in your mind. It ain't a mind game. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to die to that. And every time you die, it's going to lose hold. And you're going to come closer to me. But every time you defend it, you're going to step further away from me. And so he puts me through trial after trial after trial. This sounds familiar, right? You go through trials. He goes through trial after trial after trial, that same old thing over and over. He said, I'm giving you every chance I can. I'm giving you every chance I can to overcome your own self. Brother Bram says this, worry has no virtue to it at all. So just skip worry and accept faith. Someone said, well, now what if you're going to be shot in the morning? Wouldn't you worry? No, I don't think so. Why? He said, worry wouldn't do nothing but make me worse. Well, what good would it do having faith? He said, it might deliver me. See, worry has no virtue to it at all, but faith has all virtue. So just believe. Worry has no virtue. There is absolutely no good thing about worry. It comes from fear. You can't have worry and faith. We're operating at the same time. Now, you can have faith in your heart, your mind going crazy. I'm not talking about that. Because your mind will go nuts. Your mind will do all kinds of crazy stuff. But when you're walking in faith, you look at that and you say, that might be driving me crazy, but I'm not going to act on that. I'm putting that in God's hand, and I'm going to quit worrying. And then you walk on and you keep worrying. You say, I'm putting it in God's hand. I'm going to quit worrying. And brother and sister, when you do finally put that care under God's hand, he cares for you. He takes it from you. And again, I'm speaking from personal experience. It's exactly right. He did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of love and of sound mind. Thank you. Power and love and sound mind. I think there's three of them. I know he has love and sound mind in there. Sound mind. That's what he gives you a spirit of. But brother and sister, we need to humble ourselves and quit trying to exalt ourselves and trying to control the situations. Because then you'll cast your care on him. Brother Bram preached this in Go Wake Jesus. He's talking about when Jesus was in the boat, the storm, right? And he was back there sleeping. The disciples were doing all they could. Doing all they could. The storm was raging. And the boat was getting ready to sink. They couldn't control it. And they were completely out of their control. Listen to what Brother Bram says about it. Right in the middle of the storm. He said, he had proven to them who he was. He proved who he was. How? By the word that he preached and by the works that followed the word of vindication. God had vindicated him, for he had said unto them, he said, if I do not the works of God, don't believe me. If what God said I would do, if I don't do them, then condemn me if I'm not Messiah. He said, if you can't believe me as a man being the Messiah because I never come through your school, you have no place where I was ever educated or where I went through school of theology. If you can't believe me that I'm the Messiah, well, believe the works. They testify of what I am. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if the church could only settle on that, that the Bible said what the Christian would do and what he would do. Oh, my, how I think of that. Don't sit there and criticize those disciples, brother and sister, who didn't go wake Jesus and they thought they're going to die if we're doing the same thing tonight. He had proved who he was. What he had preached had happened. He said, now, if you can't believe me being the Messiah because of my flesh, believe what the word says. Believe the vindication of what's being preached. And that's what I'm telling you tonight, brother and sister. If you can't accept Brother Jerry and my ministry because of whatever reason is, look at the evidence that has happened in this group from the ministry that's been here. We are in the same place they were that night. We're in the same place. We have the same evidence that the word has been vindicated. He said, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if the church could only settle on that? That the Bible said what the Christian would do, what he would be. Oh my, how I think of that. the bride of Christ, the very body of Christ, and him doing through us what he's doing. Every one of you can stand and give testimony after testimony of what God has personally done in your life. I'm not talking about just healing or just anointings. I'm talking about how he has brought you closer to God. He has made you more Christ-like. You've gotten past the part where you know it's not just playing church. It's not just how good you can live, but it's your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you can't point to your own self, you can point to someone else in this building who has come to that point. If you can't point to yourself, why not? He's here. He's here for you. Now those disciples should have said, why, there's nothing wrong now. Why, there lays the Creator laying right here. He's sailing with us. Oh, brother. Don't look at the disciples if you're doing the same thing yourself. The Creator is right here with us. He's laying here. All he needs you to do is wake him up. Go wake Jesus. He's here. What problem do you have? He's the Creator. He said, why? Just look at what the things he has done. What do we care about the waves? Oh, if we could feel like that about it, how much different it would be. What do we care about the ways? What do we care about the trials? What do we care about this? What do we care about that? What do we care about all the stuff that's going on? He's right here with us. He has proved that he's right here with us. He's proved it. He said, oh, if we could feel like that about it, how much different it would be. Now what are you worried about again? What are you worried about? What is Satan harassing you about? What's he tearing you up about? What's going on? And we want to believe that so bad. And we stand there and we're like at the edge of a cliff. And say, oh, I believe that, Brother Phil. It's hard to take that step. Because to take that step, you have to let go. And we're still holding on. Because it's going to hurt. And so he said, I'm doing it. See, God? See? I've done it. I'm doing it. Oh, my goodness. Because what if the whole thing just blows up? What if God just lets it all crumble? What if you lose everything? Do you suppose holding on up here is keeping it together? I mean, what he's looking for is little children. Not crying, pouting little children, little children in faith. Papa, here's my hand, let's go. Most of us can't trust. Why we struggle? Because we have too many lying preachers preach too much junk into our heads over the years. And they preach a religion that is not Christ. Think about it. Why is it so hard just to step out and say, God, I am not going to worry anymore, so I'm just going to step out and go. Part of the problem is we try to do it in our mind like it's a mind game. This ain't a mind game. You can't just stop in your mind and say, okay, I'm going to control my mind now, not worry anymore. We're not going to fret. I'm not going to have this fear. It ain't going to happen. It needs to be faith. It's not a mind. It's not mind over matter. It's not mind over. It's faith over everything. And that faith has to have an evidence. And faith itself is the evidence. When God has spoken to you and you accept that, that is your evidence. And then he turns around, he manifests it. And there's your evidence when you see this is the Word made flesh today. This is the manifestation. And if he took care of me up to this point, he will take care of me all the way to the rapture. Look at the mess some of us have been through. Look at what you've come out of. Look how many of us have ran to the world and he wouldn't let us go. Look how many of us have done all the crazy stuff. We should all be dead. And yet we struggle with just giving it completely into his hands. Say, God, I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to defend myself anymore. I'm willing to go to the cross. He's saying, that's all I want, son. That's all I want, daughter. Discerning the Lord's body. What does it mean to be part of the Lord's body? What does it mean to be part of the bride? See, everyone, any Christian will say, yeah, I'm part of the Lord's body. I'm part of the bride. You know, I'm part of the body of Christ. Because you see it in the Bible where it says it. So everyone claims that. So what's the difference? The difference is for some people it's a doctrine. Some people it's an emotion. Some people it's an anointing. And some people it's a manifestation of the Word. You got to have the last one, folks. You have to see yourself living it out. He said, God, the creator of the heaven and earth, the creator of the winds and waves, would not they have to obey his word? The only thing he had to do was speak it. See, he is the word, but God had to use man to fulfill or to display his attributes. Do you hear what he just said? He is the word, but God had to use man to fulfill or to display his attributes. See, if he would just come down and a mighty voice would rumble through this church right now and say, Brother Jimmy, I'm taking care of that problem and you're no more suffering or whatever it is. Brother Wayne, you're going to have no more pain in your knee. It's totally healed. And we heard that and a flash of lightning would go through. Boy, we'd be like, woo! That's what I'm talking about. And boy, the rest of us would be, hey, don't forget me. Hey, splash that lightning. And they have seen him do all the things he's done. All the things he's done. And yet when he got up there and said that, he said, what manner of man? Even the wind and waves obey him. Wow. And we know that's true. We know what happened. And yet when our boat gets tossed, what are we doing? Oh my God, who's God? Human beings, folks, it's all about being human. He says this, it's the same message. He says, as long as Christ is there and the Holy Ghost is blessing all the people, we don't care. Color, creed, whatever it is, we're all one great big pool of blood. God's blessing, just fellowshipping under the blood of Christ, and we don't notice it. Talking about noticing difference in people. But when we begin to try to think, you know, my denomination is a little better than theirs, a little bigger than theirs, we have more members, that's when trouble sets in. So they begin to get that. He's talking about the disciples in that boat. And troubles arose when they forgot about him being there, so much talking about him and not recognizing him being there, being with them. He said, I wish I had some way to nail that down. Now let's just bring us up to speed with 2016 version of this. Message church after message church. You go to church and the preacher gets up and preaches and you preach what the prophet said. And it's a good sermon and there's an anointing. And we get talking about it and talking about him. Until all we're doing anymore is just talking about it. And we're talking about what God did yesterday. And when God did this and when God did that yesterday. And we start separating. He said, if trouble arose, well, they forgot about him being there. And we start having trouble, right? We had the waves come and it starts tossing our boat. And we forget about him being here because we start focusing on the waves. And this brother said this and this sister did that. And I cannot believe she had that attitude. And this happened and that happened to my boss and whatever else. I can't believe how my mom sassed me. Hey, look, they were talking about him, but had forgot that he was laying in the very ship they were in. And today that's what's happened to the churches. We talk about him. We have so much intellectual till men are so trained in the scripture till they can bring a message that you can't lay a finger on it. Listen to what he said. They can preach a message that is exactly with the word. You cannot find a thing wrong with what they preached. Talking about him, talking about him, talking about him. Forgetting that he's here. Not discerning the Lord's body. Because this pops up and that pops up and this pops up and that pops up. And pretty soon we got 30 people here and we got division among us. You know where that comes from? Not discerning the Lord's body. If Jesus Christ walked through that door right now, what kind of respect would you give him? We'd be on our hands and knees. We'd be crawling up to him. You know where I'm going with this, right? How do you treat your brother and sister? I'm back on Sunday morning, so. If you treat your brother or sister different than you would treat Jesus Christ walking through that door, you're not discerning the Lord's body. Not that you're, but let me put it this way. You need more of a revelation. You need a deeper revelation of who we are. Because he uses the flesh. He uses flesh to manifest through. If I'm going to disrespect Brother Gene, then I'm willing to disrespect Jesus Christ. And all my love, God, I love you, I praise you, I worship you, and all that, it's just nothing to it, brother and sister. It's empty. It's a stink. Because if I'm willing to sass Brother Gene and then turn around and tell Jesus how much I love him, there's something wrong. I'm not discerning the Lord's body.
Men are so trained in the scriptures till they can bring a message you can't lay a finger on it. But where is God? That's what I want to know. Where is that manifestation? See, it's just intellectual sermons. Intellectual sermons. He said, but where is God? That's what I want to know. Where is the manifestation? Brother and sister, we don't have that problem here because we see the manifestation. We're not just getting up and preaching some intellectual message, something that, hey, this is what Brother Branham said. This is God speaking to us. How do you know? Because I see the evidence happening before us. I see lives being changed. I see God. He said, where is God? I'm telling you right now, if Brother Branham was here tonight, he said, I see God tonight. Because we don't just have intellectual sermons. If we did, we would walk out of here with our hide whipped half the time. We wouldn't be coming here and be getting scalded by the word. We wouldn't be coming here and feeling like we're getting paddled. But what is it? Is God saying, you got to get rid of this? You got to get rid of this? You got to get rid of this? Because I want a relationship with you that's not constantly being severed by your bad attitudes, by your idolatry, by your pride. Stop grieving me away. So I'm asking, love me more than you love yourself. Love me more than you love your pride. Love me more than that fear. Let my love cast that fear out. That's all he's asking for. He ain't saying, I need you to start living a holier life. I need you to start being a better person. I need you to start. No, just stop grieving me away. Stop grieving me. I love you. Why would you give in to your own pride and knowing you're going to grieve me away just so you can defend yourself, just so you can have your way, just so you can be who you want to be? And that's not even who you want to be. That's your own nature. Who don't? It's your own nature. It's your own nature. Look around. Am I not here? Is Jesus in the boat tonight?
We feel that thought coming on. And that thought, when you listen to it, it brings an emotion. And that emotion, when you give in to it, brings an action. And that action grieves Jesus Christ away from you. So way back before you ever get to that emotion, when you feel that, when the thought comes in, and you know it's going to hurt, just be hurt. Well, no, you see it. That girl who's sassing me at work, I'm supposed to just let her sass me. Do you want to grieve God or do you not? Well, Brother Phil, you don't know what it's like. Say that to Jesus. Because when you say that to me, you're not saying it to me. Because this ain't Phil up here telling you what's on God's mind. It's Jesus Christ telling you what is on his mind. So do you justify yourself to Christ? No. We just humble ourselves and say, yeah, it's true. The God who raised the dead. The God who healed the sick. Has any of you ever been healed by... Raise your hand if God's ever healed you from anything. I want to see it. I dare you keep your hand down. You know he has. Has he delivered you from something? Has he shown to you that he is real? Oh, yes, he has. Oh, hallelujah. He has proven to each one of you individual that he is real. You have had experience with God that could only be him. He has proven to you that he is. He has proven to you he loves you. He has proven to you that he wants to take care of you. He wants to save you. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. He's the God who healed the sick, the God who fills with the Holy Ghost that we've seen done. Is now the same today? He's right here in the boat. He is here with us. He said, lo, I'm with you always, whether in trouble or when she's sailing smooth, I'm still in the boat. They had forgot about it. They thought all survival was gone. They had seen him do so many things, but now they have forgot he was in the boat. All forgotten in a time of trouble, just like it is now. Oh, how quickly we forget he's with us. How quickly we can have a wonderful service on Sunday, and by Monday we're already all tore up about something because we've already forgot he's in the boat. Amen. That's just humanity. That's just being. I'm not beating you down, brother and sister. I'm exposing the devil and how he works against us. I'm just exposing how it gets into your flesh and tries to mar your relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't get beat down about this. You should be, we should be thanking God for it. He cares enough about us to come and tell us what's going on in your life. He cares enough to say, don't be discouraged. I know your troubles. I know what you fall to. I know where you struggle. I know how Satan gets you tore up, but I'm still in the boat. Glory to God. I am still here. Oh, my.
Don't get discouraged. Oh, it's time. It's time when we feel that little, that chasing from the Lord, that it brings a hallelujah out of us. Because it means my Papa still loves me. He ain't quit on me yet. He hasn't given up yet. He gives me a little strength and I say, praise God. He still cares for me. Hallelujah! He hasn't let you go. He hasn't let you go. He sees the mistakes you made. He sees when you get tore up. He said, "I'm still with you. I'm in your bones. You might as well just accept me." Amen. Oh my! He's still here. Let's switch it around. Look at your life. Look what you did. What if you were him, and you've treated you the way you've treated him? Would you still be here? I would have walked out on me a long time ago. Forget it, Phil. If that's really the way you still want to be after all this time, just forget it. I'm done with you. I've given you a space to repent, and you didn't. Try and find the end of his love. Try and find where his mercy stops for those who want it. Now, if you don't want his mercy, you spurn mercy long enough, yep, his mercy ends. Can a mother forget her children? Can a mother forget her babies? You mothers know you'd do anything for your kids. You'd go through anything. You'd stay in a bad relationship if it meant it's what your kids need. And yet, a mother would forget her kids sooner than God would forget you. I ain't gonna let you go. He said they found troubles that their skill could not remedy. It was beyond their skill to remedy it. He puts you in a situation where you do not have the strength or the ability to overcome. Puts you in a situation where you cannot control yourself. But he still holds you accountable. Well, that's not fair. Yes, it is, because he's there with you. He's in the boat with you. He does this. Why does he put us there? So that we will learn to trust in him instead of ourselves. If we were not in a situation that we couldn't control, then we have an excuse. Hey, I can handle this. Oh, I can handle that, God. Never mind. Don't worry about that, God. I got it. Oh, that spirit, it don't bother me. That lust, oh, I can handle that. That anger, no problem, God, I got that. I'll just try harder. But that's not how he does it. He puts you in situations where you can't handle it. You will fall. But he says, now listen, I'm still holding you accountable. I'm still holding you accountable for that thing you can't overcome because I've already overcome it. And all I need you to do is humble yourself so I can exalt you. Just throw it over on me. That's why I went to Calvary. That's why I bore that abuse. That's why I bore that pain. That's why I bore your sin. I'm trying to show you how much I love you. That's what he's saying. They would try to put the sails up, and the wind blew them away. They tried to lay to the oars to keep the water out of the boat, to hit the waves just right, not go over and sink. You'd sink the boat. You got to steer it right through the waves, and the fishermen, well. All their skills still failed. They forgot that the Creator was in the ship. He puts you in a situation where you cannot deal with it, brother and sister. You can't handle it anymore. I told you before, I said, I recognized a while back that I do not have a strong mind. I've seen people with just steel trap minds.
where they can control their thoughts, they control their thinking. Mine's more like a blender. You ever put ice in a blender and put it on high? Sometimes that's what it feels like is going on in my mind. I ain't strong enough to deal with this world. I got too much fear. I got too much weakness. I can't keep my mind straight. Something happens and the littlest thing will just put me over the edge. Boy, it's good to be a Christian. Isn't it? What would you do? What would you do? Say, Brother Phil, I'm in a storm right now and it don't feel good. It ain't supposed to feel good. It's a storm, it's a trial, it's a test. How long is it gonna last? Does it matter? Really, does it matter? You're here for a short amount of time and then you go to heaven. Look, I hate trials as much as you do. I don't like going through them. You know, some of them can get really rough and it can really drag you down over a long period of time. But it's never in chaos. It's never just luck of the draw or whatever the word I'm looking for. It's all of them are ordained. He's ordained it for you. This is what you need. He's got it all in control. It's all taken care of. Just stand there in the battle line and stand there. It's all he's asking. Any good? Discerning the Lord's body. Recognizing that my brothers and sisters, how I treat you is how I treat Christ. My. You know how you know you love God? When you love the brethren. You know how you know you love the brethren? You love God. You find out it's one and the same. You are the body of Christ. Oh my. What a love affair. What a love story this is. Anytime you get away from the love story, you got off the word, folks. It's just the sweetest love story there ever was. And God isn't looking for, if I could just get a bunch of people, a bride that will just quit making mistakes, if I would just get them so they live a really holy life. He ain't looking for that. He's looking for a bride that loves him more than that temptation that Satan throws in your mind. He said, boy, this is going to hurt, but I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to let it go because I love God more. I do not want to grieve him away anymore. I want him with me all the time. I want to walk. When I'm driving down the road and he's with me. When I'm walking down the street, when I'm at work, when I'm doing whatever, I'm not always thinking God thoughts or whatever, but he's just there with you. I mean, you got work to do. You got to concentrate on this. You know, I got to teach class about different things, but he's there with you. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that a good day? My. That's our inheritance. That's what we get as the body of Christ. That's what we get now, and it just increases until we get this full time when we get a new body.
always trying to do tonight is say, I love you a lot. Just recognize that, how much I love you. Let's stand. Humble yourself so he can exalt you. He can't put you in place until we've humbled ourselves. And then when you humble yourself, you will automatically cast your cares on him. It just comes next. Because you're no longer caring for yourself. You're caring for the body of Christ. You're caring for your brothers and sisters. And he's caring for you because they're caring for you. Oh, when the bride realizes who she is and what she is, she can do the greater works. Brother and sister, that rapture. I know you've heard about your whole life, coming of the Lord, the rapture. We've heard it and heard it and heard it. But my, it's still going to happen. And if you look around, it's just closer than before. You know they have... I just heard on the radio today, Ford is developing like 3 or 4 different kind of cars with no steering wheel at all. It's right here, brother and sister. Our prophet told us it's going to be here. There's cars out there right now where you don't have to park and you just sit there and it parks itself. It does everything automatic anymore, folks. It's exactly what the prophet said was going to be here. Look around. Those people who have rejected the prophet, I don't know what they're thinking. They rejected Christ. My, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, you would come and speak to us, Lord, and just encourage us. And such a positive, powerful, uplifting message you gave tonight, Lord. And you point out our weaknesses, not to make us feel bad, but to show how you have overcome our weaknesses, how your love is greater than our weaknesses. And oh, Lord Jesus, when we just yield to you and let your love flow through us, then those weaknesses, they become our strength, because when we are weak, then you are strong, Lord Jesus. So just let us be that strong person. Let us be a pillar in the church. Let us be someone that our brothers and sisters can depend on, Lord Jesus, to recognize Christ in us, just to love, Father. Oh, that we would demonstrate love. We would manifest love. That's the thing, Lord. Lord, let it be. We're not asking for something that's beyond the word. We're asking for what the word says. And Lord, let us love you with all our hearts. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus. I can't remember how it, I know the song. I can't remember how it starts. The one about the pass out, you put this down and put that reassurance down in my heart. Remember that? Thank you. You got it all in control. See, she's serving a purpose right there. You're gonna come up and lead us in. He's got it. Thank you.
few announcements need to make. The 4th of September, Sunday, Brother Bo is going to be here to minister us. That following Thursday, the 8th, is going to be canceled. And then that Saturday, the 10th, and Sunday, the 11th, Brother Jewel's going to be here. Let's be dismissed this time. We'll have Brother Jimmy to dismiss us.